Blog Talk Radio.
It's about damn time.
It's Thursday night and time for the Hot Corner.
There are 108 beads in a Catholic rosary and there are 108 stitches in a baseball.
Your home for all things MLB.
Suck one out of the park for me!
The Reds, the Cubs, the Cardinals, the Dodgers, and the White Sox.
I love baseball.
The balance has you covered with a Hot Corner.
Watch where you're walking, guys. I don't want you to step in the crap I just knocked out of that ball, huh?
News, rumors, and fantasy, it's all in the Hot Corner.
Baseball, it's the best.
And here is your host, Tom Marquis.
See you later.
Beautiful pitch by Kershaw. And what a catch by Carlos Beltran. High fly ball into deep right field. I don't care either. High fly ball, deep left field. Back it goes, and the ball is gone. Down at the wall, leaps up, and he makes the catch.
Center field, Gardner going back, still going back.
There goes the runner. The ball's
going off again.
Here's Williams throw right there. He
did he get around the tag? He did.
And Hamilton beat it.
Throw by Vancouver.
They got him.
Hit in the right. Back at the wall. Home game.
Draw came out.
Well, the left center field. Back toward the track. And that ball is gone.
And the Rays are in the postseason.
Celebration time.
All right, welcome to the Hot Corner. Welcome out to the ballpark. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente, host of The Balance, and this thing that we do every Thursday night called the Hot Corner, where we bring you up to speed and talk everything baseball. We take 1 hour out of the week to dedicate to baseball. And so that's what we do here. 917-889-8516 is my digits. You can also give us a like, give us a follow on Facebook, on Twitter, at Two Hot Corner, or The Balance on Facebook. Go be a fan, be a follower, be a stalker, but go there and be a part of the Hot Corner. Well, we got a good show for you today. Of course we do. It's baseball. It's Thursday night. You know, what I thought we would do, and, you know, maybe some of you younger baseball fans don't remember a certain Cincinnati Reds baseball owner by the name of Marge Schott. Certainly the pun of a lot of jokes. And but, you know, this recent debacle, if we will call it, with the NBA, and we'll get more into the Sterling talk on the NBA side on The Balance on Saturday. We've got some good opinions that are coming your way on Saturday, and Jay Graves of the Jay Graves Report is going to join us to talk with us about that. We may also have some other people that would like to maybe chime in on that. So we're going to get into that particular conversation. But as it pertains to baseball, I wanted to just kind of open up the conversation, if you will, for the first half hour and talk about racism in baseball. Is it still there? You know, we think about, and probably most of baseball fans or I would take for granted have seen the movie 42. If not, and certainly know who Jackie Robinson is and the story about, you know, blacks being let into baseball and that sort of stuff. But does it still exist today? And You know, a few years ago, Marge Schott got herself in some pretty hot water, but nothing remotely, in my opinion, she said things that were blatantly racist, and she should have possibly been banned, but didn't even get the same punishment. So do we look at racism differently for different sports? And so let's talk about that today on the Hot Corner. So we're going to talk about that. If you want to get into that, this conversation, I know it's a pretty hot topic, so certainly, you know, we'd love to talk with you about that. 917-889-8516. You want to call? You want to talk in and chime in your opinion on racism in baseball? Or we'll open it up, give you a little bit of a leash in sports in general, whether that be football or what about hockey? Is there racism in hockey? How many black hockey players are there? You know, so is that because of geographic? Is that because of upbringing? Is that because there's racism in there? So let's talk about racism in baseball predominantly. Well, let's talk about the contrast between David Sterling, Donald Sterling, Mr. Sterling, and the contrast between Marge Schott and the former owner of the Cincinnati Reds. So let's get into that conversation. Bottom of the hour, though. Last half hour, we're going to have to get back on point and get caught up in a lot of baseball and a lot of baseball news. Ed Kratz, Calkins Media beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles and the Philadelphia Phillies, going to be calling in and talking with us about the Phillies. So you Philly fans, you know, we'll be glad to talk with you. Also, let's talk a little bit. We're going to talk about the National League Central, the Cubs, the Reds, that series going on there. Also, we're going to talk about the Cardinals, the Pirates. And we'll try to get in some conversation on the minor league with the Indians and the Fort Wayne Tin Caps. If we can, we'll get to it all. But I promise you, over the next hour, we've got a jam-packed show for you. My name is Sean Marquis, El Presidente. This is the Hot Corner on Thursday night. We'll be back with more conversation. Is racism still alive and well in baseball? We'll be right back. Right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
You know, after a long day here at the Balance Radio Studios, one of the things I like to do most is just to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cigar and a great cocktail. One of my favorite places to do that is Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mike and Tom have the setup for you there. I'm going to tell you what, they've got a walk-in humidor, cigars, pipes, tobacco, the way you like it. You like it mild, they got it for you. You like it strong and bold, they got something for you. They got a fully stocked bar with local drafts, a very relaxing lounge, a full service kitchen with a delicious menu, monthly cigar tasting events. You can play Golden Tee for free. Bring your laptop, relax with a nice cigar and the cocktail the way you like it. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mr. B's Cigar Box is the place you want to go to unwind. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Very easy to find. 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. That's 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. 317-272-6900. The guys out at Mr. B's Cigar Box are waiting for you. What are you waiting for?
Thank you. I'm J.B. Bernstein. I'm a sports agent.
Hey.
Who's that?
She's my neighbor. Not my type.
Why? Because she's not a model.
Yeah, stay away from that.
Right now, I'm on the verge of a huge break.
Without this deal, we're done.
What's going on here? Don't tell me you signed a contract with these guys.
It's just business.
Guess what? We're out of money.
I mean, I don't know what else to do, JB.
Hey, how fast do they pitch in cricket? I think I cracked this.
It's called Million Dollar Arm. We find the first Major League Baseball player from India.
Like being on the road?
Words cannot express.
Ray, how are you going to know if anyone can throw if you keep your eyes shut all day?
I can hear it.
Really?
That was about a 43.
Bingo.
We have our finalists.
Welcome to America, boys. Okay. All right, guys.
Who is that? Is she a servant?
She's a beautiful servant.
We can't train somebody who was never picked up a baseball. It's insane.
Okay, so how's it going?
Baseball is very hard.
This is Major League Baseball, not some social experiment.
You're not ready for this kind of pressure.
This is business.
Don't be a sideshow.
These guys are not ready for a pro tryout.
Their chances fall between slim and none.
Are you okay?
These kids, they're my last best shot.
But they're also just a couple of great kids. Kids. I mean, they're far from home.
They need to see that you care.
Wow.
This whole alternative family thing looks good on you.
See this, partner? Boom.
We've got a major league tryout.
Are you messing with us?
No, I'm not messing with you. You got a tryout. All right, go ahead. Say it.
Did you kiss Miss Brenda?
No. She kissed me.
Oh!
Yeah. And you're listening to The Hot Corner with your host, El Presidente, Tom Marquis.
Con los terroristas.
They do the Harlem Shake.
All right, yeah, I got to do a little Harlem Shake on a Thursday night. Absolutely. You know what? It's amazing to me how fads can come in and come and go. Remember the Harlem Shake? It was like yesterday, but it was so long ago, right? It's like that is so yesterday, right? But that was real popular. They were doing that in all the ballparks and all the teams were kind of doing that. Remember that? You used to be watching a video and all of a sudden people bounce out into the Harlem Shake. And you see, what you don't see behind the mic here is I actually, you know, I've got this big old mask that I put on or whatever, and I'm doing the Harlem Shake. Now, that's actually a sight you do not want to see. There's a reason that I'm actually on radio. I've got what they call a face for radio. Well, my name's Sal Mark with El Presidente. I am your host. I am your leader. For the rest of the hour, and we're going to be talking about baseball. One of the, you know, we certainly want to get caught up on the scores and what's going on right now. Certainly, what started up on the top of the first, Milwaukee and Cincinnati tied up at zero. The top of the eighth, the Pirates and the Orioles. Pirates down 1-5. The Dodgers get their 10,000th win, by the way, this week. Just a little bit of tidbit for you trivia people out there. The Dodgers, though, win today against the Twins 9-4. Top of the first, the Mariners and the Yankees. And still yet to start up is the doubleheader of Pittsburgh and Baltimore. And then top of the first, Atlanta and Miami. Top of the first, Tampa Bay and Boston. Top of the first, the Dodgers and Minnesota. And still yet to play tonight, Toronto, Kansas City, and then New York, Mets, and Colorado. All of that going on tonight, so make sure you check MLB.com or the MLB channel and get yourself a baseball game. Well, wanted to get into this conversation is, as we know, as we know here just this past week, and I want to draw a contrast, if you will, between Donald Sterling and that whole scandals in the contrast in the memories of Marge Schott. If you remember, you Cincinnati Reds fans, I'm sure remember her. You know, the comments that she made were, in a lot of ways, unspeakable. I mean, she would make comments about Jews and Hitler and views about Hitler and offensive remarks about women and Asian Americans. So, maybe she wasn't prejudiced because it appeared that she hated everybody. So certainly, if that set the precedent nearly two decades ago, Tuesday's announcement by Silver raised the stakes significantly. Here's the thing: do we look at predominantly in basketball? There's the predominant race is black, but let's face it, in baseball, the predominant race is Hispanic. What if an owner has an issue with Hispanics? Does that become racism? What if an owner has an opinion on illegals? Strong population in America, let's face it, that are Hispanic or also illegal. Certainly not the baseball players. They're sponsored. They're here legally. You might look at the situation that there might be players whose family members are here illegally. So certainly the contrast can be drawn between Donald Sterling and Marge Schott. So does racism still exist in baseball today? Or really, we could open up the door to other sports, but this is the Hot Corner. We talk baseball. And like I said, over the last few days, the National Basketball Association has had to deal with the outrage stemming from racist remarks directly from the mouth of one of its owners. Where do we draw the line at? It's a private business. Trust me, in my opinion, Donald Sterling is not getting any Man of the Year awards in my book. So I am certainly not saying what he said was right. What I am saying is what I feel like he said in comparison to what Marge Schott said was night and day. Did we not just have an issue, and I don't want to get into the politics of things, but did we not just have an issue of the NSA taping private conversations? Did we not get into that? So freedom of speech, where do we draw that line? I mean, God forbid if all of our private conversations with the people we are most intimate with, whether that be girlfriend, friends, parents, family, what have you, are taped and released to the public. I think a lot of us, me included, I'll take ownership. I probably made some comments that if things got out, I could probably find myself with some serious hot water as well. So where do we draw the line at? As I was prepping for this show tonight in this particular topic, I came across a commentary that was done by, wait for it, Jerry Springer. Now let me give you a little bit of background about Jerry Springer. Everybody knows who Jerry Springer is, the Jerry Springer Show, and the drama that's on the Jerry Springer Show. But before there was Jerry Springer, the Jerry Springer Show, there was Jerry Springer, the very serious journalist, and very from Cincinnati, very involved in the community of Cincinnati, and has called it home there for years. And I will double check my facts on this, but I think he was even the mayor at one time of Cincinnati. But he was a journalist during all of this back in like 1995, 92. I come across a commentary from Jerry Springer on Marge Schott regarding the punishment that should happen and would happen and could happen when they were basically having the same conversations about Marge Schott that we're having about Sterling this week. So let's listen to this. We'll be right back right after this.
The other baseball owners who will ultimately decide Marge's fate, since there's no commissioner, won't be too tough on her because the chances are their laundry on the issue of race is probably not much cleaner than hers. And if they try and boot her out of the game altogether, the inevitable lawsuit that will follow will open up their own personal behavior and race relations record, and that's a circus they undoubtedly want to avoid. So no, baseball won't go to the mat on this one. A slap on the wrist, a fine, and a year's suspension at most will be the price of Marge's racial insensitivity, nothing more. And the truth is, if it wasn't for the Reverend Jesse Jackson and other civil rights leaders, the penalty wouldn't even be this much. Indeed, baseball itself would prefer that no one even mention this issue. And this goes not just for the owners and the folks who run the game, but even the players and the managers. Did you notice that not one active player, white or black, showed up at the press conference or rally where the lack of minority hiring was addressed? Apparently, they're all doing okay, getting by on their million-dollar contracts, so why worry about anybody else? So canned speeches aside, baseball obviously isn't taking this issue seriously. Now, I've heard the argument that baseball needn't be defensive about the race issue, that its record is good, that the likes of Barry Bonds and Cecil Fielder and Eric Davis make millions at this game. But let's not be fooled. These guys are paid that amount because white owners get rich off of them. But bringing blacks into the front office of baseball, why, that's pitifully slow, particularly considering how much blacks have contributed to this national pastime of ours. Look, our attitudes haven't changed. We'll pay blacks to perform for us, but we won't let them near the running of our businesses. And no, this isn't just a problem of baseball. I dare say the newspapers, television, and radio stations that have been lighting up on Marge and baseball's sorry record on race are just as white and just as closed off to minorities in their boardrooms. And maybe that's why this issue has touched such a raw nerve. You see, what is most offensive is not the language Marge used, but the fact that too many folks don't find anything wrong with the message.
And there you have it, Jerry Springer, and that's just a part of a commentary that he did regarding Marge Schott, the owner of the Cincinnati Reds. And certainly, like I said, a lot of you, the younger, older Cincinnati Reds fans remember Marge Schott in everything that as much of a huge baseball fan that she was. And certainly a pioneer in a lot of ways. She did a lot of good for baseball. But the unfortunate thing is she's always going to be remembered for the things she said off the field. And certainly people remember her controversial remarks about the Jews, the African-Americans, and homosexuals and others. And after becoming a general partner in the National League's Cincinnati Reds in 1980, Schott was initially basically had rock-bottom prices and concession prices at the stadium. However, her fan-friendly policies, as I said, were soon overshadowed by her personal politics. We'll just call it that. In 1992, she referred to several Reds players by using the N-word, an N-word that we will not use on this show. I did not hear Sterling use the N-word. So, and there was lawsuits that allege that she refused to hire African-Americans. And that's probably still in place today, whether it's an unwritten rule or not. How many African-Americans do we have in the front office? We're starting to see more and more. But here it is, 2014, and we're still dealing with some of these issues. If you've got a comment or a thought on racism in baseball or sports, for that matter, 917-889-8516. We would love to hear your thoughts, or if you want to tweet them out to us. We'd love to talk with you about. And here's the thing: after several investigations with Marge Schott, here's what happened: they suspended her for the duration of the '93 season. The following year, she actually used a gay slur, calling them fruits. By 1996, fans and baseball officials alike had reached the end of the rope with Schott. Her insensitive comments about the on-field death of an umpire on opening day were followed by several months later by just all kinds of pro-Hitler statements. Again, the MLB banned her, for the 1998-99 season. And then she sold her controlling interest to the Reds in 1999. She did die in 2004 at the age of 75. Certainly, like I said, she was very, very charitable. And she gave a lot to charity. And she was very fan-friendly. But I think not very nice of a person, I guess, would be what I would say. You know, so... What about Redskins owner Dan Snyder? I mean, again, I know we're talking about baseball here. And, you know, a lot of people are accusing the Redskins of being racist because of what's on their helmet. How ridiculous is that? I don't know. I'm just wondering. And we will get into this in the balance on Saturday. But I'm wondering how much of this is directly related to the society that we find ourselves in today, with our president, with you can't be a member of the Tea Party without being called a racist. You know, maybe this is the wrong term to use, but this pack mentality that certain elements of society have. Look, by no means am I saying what Donald Sterling, Marge Schott, said were appropriate comments. But why was she not banned for life from baseball? Certainly, you know, now the bar's been set. You would think that anybody who has enough stupidity to say that those words in public will soon meet the same a fate, if you will. I think a lot of us just want this to go away. I mean, he's going to make a ton of money if he sells it. Sell it. Don't sell it. It just looks to me like we should be fair across the board. Predominantly, it's Hispanic and whites. That, yes, there are blacks in baseball, quite obviously. But predominantly in basketball, the race is black. So what exactly did Sterling say that caused such an uproar? Certainly wasn't anything anywhere close to what Marge Schott said when she was the owner of the Cincinnati Reds. And she was punished by the MLB. So, Donald Sterling says, I don't understand why you bring those people, referring to black people. Why? I don't want you to bring black people to my game. Okay. Well, she's a gold digger. She's a mistress. And she is, I guess I don't understand, I believe me, what I'm saying here is not that Donald Sterling should have ever said what he said. Certainly, that's not what I'm trying to imply here. What I am trying to imply is certain sports come down harder than other sports. Certain, I guess what I would want to know is if Donald Sterling owned an MLB team, would he have met the same fate? Well, what about, you know, I know we're going to get off topic on all this, but what about some of the Seattle Sonics fans? And just a lot, I don't know. You know, Jackie Robinson made the break into the MLB. So where's the line that we draw? Well, my name's Saul Marquis, El Presidente. Unfortunately, we've ran out of time. We'll get into some of this conversation with our next guest, Ed Kratz of Calkins Media down in Philadelphia, talking with us a little bit about the Philadelphia Phillies. We're going to talk some MLB as well. This is the Hot Corner. My name's Saul Marquis, El Presidente. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with more of the Hot Corner.
And souls of champions, all will take notice as a new tradition ignites. The inaugural Grand Prix of Indianapolis. New twists, new turns, new thrills. Grand Prix of Indianapolis at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Our story begins now.
You know, after a long day here at the Balance Radio Studios, one of the things I like to do most is just to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cigar and a great cocktail. One of my favorite places to do that is Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mike and Tom have the setup for you there. I'm going to tell you what, they've got a walk-in humidor, cigars, pipes, tobacco, the way you like it. You like it mild, they got it for you. You like it strong and bold, they got something for you. They got a fully stocked bar with local drafts, a very relaxing lounge, a full-service kitchen with a delicious menu, monthly cigar tasting events. You can play Golden Tee for free. Bring your laptop, relax with a nice cigar and the cocktail the way you like it. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mr. B's Cigar Box is the place you want to go to unwind. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Very easy to find. 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. That's 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. 317-272-6900. The guys out at Mr. B's Cigar Box are waiting for you. What are you waiting for?
Race fans, get ready for the 2014 Coors Light Carb Day Concert at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, starring the Red Rocker, Sammy Hagar, and the Wobbles. And Sublime with Rome. Friday, May 23rd, Sammy Hagar and the Wobbles. And Sublime with Rome. Get more info at ims.com/carb day.
Got a treat for you, a sneak preview of the new three-act Broadway musical being written and directed by Yankee slugger Alex Rodriguez.
If it's baseball.
If it's baseball.
Tom Marquis is talking about it on The Balance.
All right, my minions, welcome back to the Hot Corner. My name is Saul Marcos, El Presidente. It is Thursday night. We're talking baseball. Hey, the Indianapolis Indian Tribes are out of Pawtucket. They're getting ready to take the first pitch. You can catch them on CBS Sports. So go over to CBS Sports right after this show, by the way, and check them out. Joining us now, good friend of the show, Mr. Ed Kratz of Calkins Media. How are we doing, sir?
I'm doing great, Tom. How's everybody?
Man, we're good. We're good. Finally, good. We've got some sunshine here in Indianapolis, and it's the month of May, which is, you know, the biggest thing in the world to us is the month of May, and we've got the big Grand Prix coming up. I was out there testing yesterday, so, you know, we like fast cars here in Indianapolis.
Yeah. Makes the month go fast, too.
Yeah, and Ed, I want to get in some conversation with the MLB and the Phillies. But what you may have heard us right before we went to break, I was kind of talking about you probably remember just by covering sports in general, you probably remember the former owner of the Cincinnati Reds, Marge Schott. Do you remember her?
Yeah, and her dog. Shotzi, right? Yeah, exactly.
Well, I guess I want to draw a little bit of a contrast here, and you cover football, so we could talk about it from your expertise, if you will. Baseball is our topic tonight, and certainly racism was huge with her. But we look at the contrast between Donald Sterling and Marge Schott, and I think Marge Schott was far worse. Things were said than Donald Sterling with the LA Clippers, and again, what he said maybe were requests that he was asking of someone that maybe should have been in his life to begin with. But nonetheless, when you look at that, so let's just talk about the Philadelphia Eagles. If the owner of the Eagles or the general manager of the Eagles was to say something remotely close to what Donald Sterling said, what kind of punishment should be handed down? Do you think that, I guess what I'm wanting to know, does the punishment fit the crime in this particular situation, Ed?
Yeah, well, I know Donald Sterling hasn't been the best owner in the NBA over however long he's owned the team, what, 20-plus years. And he has a history of making statements similar to this. And, I think what he said, you know, probably rises to, you know, this sort of suspension. And, Adam Silver, the new commissioner of the NBA, he was really kind of in a rock and a hard place there because players were threatening to boycott the playoff games that night and maybe beyond. And had he not acted the way he did, then, you know, you may have had – you know, bedlam across the NBA. So, I think he almost had to do it. The crime punishment, I would say that, I think it probably does. Especially in a game like the NBA where, you know, a majority, I don't know what the percentage is, but it is a high percentage of players who are African American. And, you can't have someone owning an NBA team that has those sorts of views. And, what he said, you know, certainly is inexcusable. And, you know, even if it was the majority of players were not African-American, then, I still think that there is a punishment warranted. And I think this was probably probably a warranted punishment.
Well, and I guess that's still up for debate, and whether or not he'll ever be or can legally be forced to sell his team is to me a completely different issue because it's a private business, and I don't know that he could be. I don't know what all the bylaws are, but I don't know that he could be forced to sell his team. Let's get back into baseball. The Phillies.
I was going to say you mentioned Marge Schott. She probably was worse than Donald Sterling. I mean, she slurred everybody, not just African Americans, but, you know, the Jewish race, Japanese people, came out in support of the Nazi party and Adolf Hitler. And, I mean, you know, she was just, full blown. So, and yet she was able to own the team for quite a number of years, too. But then, finally after, some of the comments she made about the Nazi party and Adolf Hitler, she was forced to, share the majority of her share in the team. So, you know, but you know, so I think, yeah, I think there's racism everywhere. And, you know, when you hear it and when you see it, it really makes you cringe. And, you know, the Eagles, you mentioned the Eagles, they had that incident with Riley Cooper last summer when, you know, he had the racial slur. And, you know, they sent him away for sensitivity training for just 3 days.
Exactly.
But, yeah, you know, so there was that. And it's just really kind of ugly that, you know, it's really a shame that it's still out there and it exists. But, you know, I'm not sure we'll ever fully stamp it out.
Well, I don't think that
anyway,
we will.
Back to baseball.
Absolutely, and you know, I don't think that we will. But you know, in God's sake, I don't know if you heard me say this earlier. I have probably said some things off mic and in with the in front of my closest friends or people I'm most intimate with that I wouldn't want to be out in the media aspects of things. So I'm just, you know, I don't know that he actually. Was even though he may have had we call closet feelings about a certain particular race, you know, again, if we look at Marge Schott, we look at Donald Cerullo, these aren't young people. These aren't people that these are come from an old school way of thinking. So
right.
there's a different mindset there. Well,
yeah.
So the Nationals, the Phillies, and Nationals come in 16-12, 13-13 tomorrow. Night out there at Citizens Park there in Philadelphia. Pretty good matchup, and the Nationals are pretty good, pretty strong team this year. Obviously, National League East rivals with you guys. So as you welcome the Washington Nationals to town tomorrow, what are some of the things that have to be done?
Well, you know, the Phillies are 13-13, and they have been at .500 four previous times this season. With a chance to go above .500, and they've lost. So, you know, the Phillies would really like to get on a little bit of a run here, you know, try to take 2 out of 3, have a .500 record heading into next week. Of course, the Nationals bring back with them Jason Wirth, who, you know, helped the Phillies win a World Series here in 2008. And that's always interesting dynamic when Wirth comes to the plate with the fans booing him and, you know, yelling at him when he's in the outfield. It won't rise to the level that it did when Ryan Braun and the Milwaukee Brewers passed through Philadelphia a few weeks back when, you know, Ryan Braun was just booed mercilessly and really rose to the occasion. He hit a few home runs in that series and kind of got his season on track while he was in Philadelphia. So he kind of thrived in that booing atmosphere. But, you know, the Nationals are a good team, and they're missing Bryce Harper, of course, you know, one of their solid players who was off to a bit of a slow start this season. And he's out probably till July with the hand injury. So, you know, that's a hole in their lineup. But, yeah, it's going to be tough. And I know the Phillies really want to try to get above .500 here. They just completed their first month, the first April, without a losing record in the last 3 years. Granted, it wasn't a winning record either, but at the same time, it is one positive that, you know, they're kind of off to a start here that will hopefully keep them in this race in the NL East for as long as they can stay in the race. You know, the Braves certainly are, you know, a team that is going to have to be reckoned with. And what they're doing with their pitching staff is amazing considering, you know, some of the injuries they started the year with. And they're, you know, they're at the top of the division. So, the Phillies, you know, they would like to win 2 out of 3 here against Washington and sort of stay above .500 or get above .500 and, you know, take off from there a little bit. And as the weather heats up, and hopefully their bats will heat up too. But we'll see. You know, it should be a fun series, I think.
Well, we certainly look back at the first month of baseball, the month of April, and everybody's just getting started. So, you know, I hate to say that any team, you give a failing grade in the first month, but if we were to go back and look at the Philadelphia Phillies during the month of April, you know, certainly I guess it would depend on if you're a glass half full or half empty kind of fan, but you got to be encouraged that Chase Utley, Jimmy Rollins, and Carlos Ruiz were off to great starts, and Ryan Howard as well. So you got to be encouraged of what they're doing, but it just seemed like it turned out to be a pretty tough opening month for you guys.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned those veterans' names, and I think, yeah, they're off to good starts, but more importantly, they're off to healthy starts, which, you know, that hasn't been the case the last few years, you know, with You know, Ryan Howard coming back from a torn Achilles the previous season. You know, Chase Utley has had his knee issues. And, you know, Carlos Ruiz had the suspension issue for performance-enhancing drugs. So, you know, these guys are healthy right now. Yeah, and you can throw Jimmy Rollins in there, too. He's healthy. But, you know, that's kind of been – that's what their key to their season is going to be for the Philadelphia Phillies is to stay healthy and to let these veterans sort of prove to people that, hey, we're not done. We're not washed up. We still have some productivity left in us, and we're going to go out and prove it. But in order to do that, they have to stay healthy. And so far, so good in that respect. You know, and I think, you know, you talk about the players, but I think you have to look at the manager, too, Ryan Sandberg. You know, I think he's really done a pretty good job managing this team, and he mixes up his lineup more often than Charlie Manuel ever did. Nobody can really get comfortable with where they're batting in the order. You know, he's done a nice job. You know, he came up from AAA, the AAA affiliate in Philadelphia. The Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs is their name. And, you know, AAA is a tough level to manage at because you have veterans that, you know, could be in that, you know, they're trying to hang on to the game and they're in AAA. And you have guys coming up who hope to get to the major leagues and they're in AAA. So you have to really kind of blend personalities and different experiences together. And I think that experience in the minor league, the AAA, has really helped him with this Phillies club because it is an older team, but it does have some young players too who hope to kind of inherit, you know, some of the leadership and some of the roles that veterans like Howard and Utley and Rollins and Ruiz have had a number of years.
Well, we look at Ryan Sandberg, and certainly if you're a fan of baseball, you're a fan of Ryan Sandberg. So don't get me wrong. I mean, Ryan Sandberg earned the job there at Philadelphia. is a great pick for you guys. But, you know, I look at – and maybe it's just because that's what I do for a living at, is that I look at these things and I look at different games. And I've had a chance to watch a few Phillies games over the last month. And certainly, it's his first job, so he's going to make some mistakes early on, and a lot of that in the lineups and stuff. I'm wondering if the are rookie mistakes, and you look at some of the things. Like, I don't really quite understand what he was doing with Cody Ash at third base, and why Galvis was getting so much playing time. And I know Sandberg is going to make mistakes, and certainly at the end of the day, the buck has to stop with him. That's going to happen, and so I certainly hope that he does well. But I just think with the rotation and certainly how he handled the bullpen, and you know, just some different matchups that he was doing with batters and pitchers, I feel like maybe those were, we'll just call them rookie mistakes, or count them up as that, and he'll get better.
Sure, and maybe trying a little too hard, you know, maybe overthinking situations. You know, that could play a hand in it. Yeah, I absolutely agree that as a rookie, you know, rookie major league manager, he's gonna learn as he goes. And, you know, you watch baseball long enough, you're going to see something you've never seen before. You know, we hear that all the time. And, you know, that's the same with the managerial situation. You know, you think you've seen something and you try something based on that, and maybe it doesn't work out. You know, you mentioned some of the things you question, and I question some of the pitch counts of his starting staff that, you know, he's kind of let get up well above 100 pitches with guys like A.J. Burnett, you know, who's mm-hmm. on the south side of 30, and Cliff Lee, who's in his mid-30s. But I think the reason for that, Tom, is the bullpen really is – and yeah, it's been a question mark for the team, and it still is a question mark for the team. They have a lot of holes in that bullpen and pieces that they're still trying to learn some things about. They recently got Mike Adams back, who missed all of last year with a shoulder situation, and he's back, and, you know, he's a veteran. He can certainly help them if he's healthy. You know, Papelbon has pitched extremely well as the closer this year. Last year, he obviously struggled, and his velocity was down, and that was a concern. But, you know, right now Papelbon's touching 93 miles an hour, 94 very occasionally, whereas last year he was only throwing at about 90 and 91, and people thought, you know, hey, he's done. But, you know, he's got his velocity back up there, and you know, he's one of the dominant closers in the game if he, you know, if he can keep healthy and keep his velocity up where it needs to be. So, but other than those two guys and Antonio Bastardo a little bit, you know, he's kind of up and down. And they're still trying to find out about some other guys, you know, Mario Hollins and, you know, just some other names you could throw out there. Jake Diekman's been okay. But, you know, it's a bullpen that really needs to kind of prove itself and kind of blend. And maybe that's why Sandberg has his starters throwing probably more pitches than they should, especially early in the season before it's even warm out. And a veteran staff at that. So, you know, we'll see how, you know, how that goes once, you know, June and July get here. We'll see how fresh those arms are. That's my concern is that, you know, some of these arms might be more like limp noodles by the time summer hits based on the number of pitches Sandberg's had them throw. But you mentioned third base with Cody Ashe and Freddie Galvis. I mean, Freddie Galvis is a tremendous defensive player. He can't hit for anything right now, and that's always been the knock on him through the minors. And, you know, Cody Ashe went through a pretty rough stretch where he wasn't hitting. So I think Sandberg might have just been playing the best defensive player that he could find at that spot in Freddie Galvis. And, you know, maybe he let Ashe kind of sit and watch a little bit as a young kid. You know, sometimes when you're sitting on the bench and watching a nine-inning game, you can learn more than when you're out on the field. So, you know, that may have been, you know, some of the thinking behind, you know, his move there at third base. But, you know, I think Sandberg's going to play all the guys as much as he can. You know, it's a 25-man roster. He said that before, and he wants to keep all 25 guys in the mix and you know, keep their heads in the game and use all 25 guys because he believes it takes 25 guys to win a pennant.
Well, certainly, and like I said, tomorrow you welcome your rivals, the Nationals to town, and I think Cliff Lee is obviously going to be in the mix there tomorrow as well. And your bullpen is certainly looking up for the month of May. Jonathan Palepon, I mean, certainly he's been an excellent closer for you. You guys have to get some right-handed pitchers in the mix there. And like you mentioned, Mike Adams and stuff, I think he could certainly help give Ryan Sandberg some help at the right-handed pitcher. And certainly, you know, your lefty, Jake Diekman, is I don't think he was used enough in April. So we'll see what happens in the month of May. It's a long season of baseball, that's for sure. So let's look around the National League. Obviously, tomorrow – you've got the Nationals coming into town, but looking across the National League, and we look at the Reds and certainly the Mets and the Rockies and the Braves, any particular standout thing that you see right now going into the month of May in the National League as it pertains to the Phillies or to the National League in generally speaking?
Well, you know, you're not going to like it, but the Milwaukee Brewers. You know, I know you're a big Cardinals fan. And
yeah, you're right, but it is they are playing some good ball. They're certainly doing better than we are right now.
Yeah, you know, they came through Philadelphia here not too long ago, and they really impressed me the way they hit the ball. But you know, I think the Brewers have always had that stacked lineup, and it's always kind of been the question mark has always been the pitching. And you know, Yovani Gallardo is pitching extremely well early on here, and you know, they're getting some good performances from Kyle Loesch, and you know, he's always been a steady pitcher throughout his career. So, you know, if the Brewers get some pitching, you might find yourself, you know, those Cardinals might find themselves a little further back than is going to make you comfortable. once Memorial Day gets here, Tom. But,
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, they're sitting at 20-8 right now. The Brewers are so. Certainly, I would say they're one of the unfortunate surprises that have happened in the 2014 season so far. So what we've got to do is get them playing like the Diamondbacks because the Diamondbacks have been sucky this year. So
how about that
turnaround? That
was going to be my other surprise. Was, you know, the surprise at the top to me is the Brewers, and the surprise in the, you know, on the other end of it is the Diamondbacks. I mean, you know, nine wins and you know, more than 30 games at this point. I think they were picked to be, you know, kind of a contender. You know, to kind of give the Dodgers and the Giants a good push, and you know, they're 9-22. You know, almost 10 games out. That's going to be very, very tough. mountain to climb, especially in that division where you have the, you know, you have the Dodgers and you have the Giants and the Rockies are playing well, and I don't expect them to, you know, for that to last. But, you know, certainly the Dodgers and the Giants are, you know, you're going to have a tough time catching them if you find yourself too far behind there. So that's a surprise on the other end. The Diamondbacks just, you know, for some reason haven't really been able to put it together. And another surprise in that vein is the Pittsburgh Pirates in your division. Is, you know, they were a playoff team and a young team, an exciting team, and they looked like all arrows were pointing up. And, you know, here they sit at 10-17, and, you know, they're almost 10 games behind the Brewers.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so that's another surprise on that end is, you know, what happened to the Pirates. And, you know, maybe A.J. Burnett, who's now pitching in Philadelphia, was, you know, he was a big linchpin in that rotation, and he's not there now, and he's pitching in Philly and pitching very well in Philadelphia. So, you know, taking him out of the rotation in Pittsburgh may have hurt the Pirates more than they may have bargained for when they decided not to re-sign him. So, are you there?
Okay, Ed, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
I am so sorry. We lost the connection there to you, so I do apologize. And, you know, the good thing is we're about here at the end of the show here, so
okay.
I do apologize. I kind of had to do the things the old-fashioned way here and use the old cell phone to get the connection going right now. But,
okay.
But unfortunately, we got a minute left, though, so I guess that's all good things. So I certainly didn't hear what you were saying, or if we had some time of dead air there, I apologize to you, and certainly apologize to our listeners as well. So, real quickly, any recap of things that you'd like to talk with us about that maybe we haven't covered yet?
Well, you know, I mentioned the Pittsburgh Pirates there, you know, kind of limping along, and you know, in that division, the Milwaukee Brewers, I'm telling you, you got to really watch out for them. You know, they can run away and hide real fast at 20-8 after April, and you know, that's going to be a tough fill for the rest of the teams in that division to climb. I mean, even the Cardinals are 5.5 out at the end of the month. So I think the NL East is surprisingly competitive. You know, I think that could kind of, you know, that's kind of a wide open division at this point. You know, any of those five teams. I mean, even the Marlins. You know, with that Jose Fernandez, probably one of the top pitchers in the game, probably one of the top three anyway, I would say. And, you know, they're a good-looking young club. They have Giancarlo Stanton, who I love as a hitter. You know, so they have some good pieces there. And, you know, the Marlins, I'm not going to count them out. I think that NL East is a surprisingly wide-open division. And it should be fun to watch. And in the Central, it's going to be fun to see if anybody can catch the Brewers at this point. And, you know, the AL or the NL West with the Dodgers and the Giants, that's always a heck of a rivalry to peek in on from time to time. So, you know, it's fun. It's going to be a great summer, I think, as it always is in baseball.
Well, absolutely. Ed Kratz, we appreciate you taking some time to join us and apologize about the technical difficulties. But we'll catch up with you again soon throughout the season as we catch up with the Phillies. And certainly, as we get to the draft, we'll have you over on the balance to talk about the Eagles and their draft scenarios.
I would love that. Thank you, Tom.
All right, buddy. Ed Kratz of Talkins Media, and again, I want to apologize for the technical difficulties that we ran into here at the end of the show, but just remember, those are time and it isn't cool. My name is Tom Marcos, El Presidente. We'll catch you on Saturday for the balance. We're going to be breaking down more of this Donald Sterling talk, and also IndyCar. It's the month of May, and we're going to be getting into that conversation at IndyCar and the Grand Prix of Indianapolis coming up this Saturday on the Balance Radio Network. We'll see you. I'm out of here. Peace.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.